he's too close to my nards.
This podcast is not suitable for children or those who are easily disturbed. Spoiler warning for whatever is in the title of this episode.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to thehorrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible and all other major podcast apps.
Welcome to the Treehouse of Horror of Babylon, episode 8, Dial Z for Zombies.
Zombabies.
I'm Ryan, and with me, as always, is Daniel. Say hi, Daniel.
I think you're the high one.
I intend to have a couple beers, but I haven't started yet. Thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First, Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, and...
Logan,
the Full Metal patron. And Four Horsemen Comics and Gaming, which you can visit at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall at Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And say hello to the proprietor, Ronald III, the Zombie Horde Master of Christmas.
I'm holding my new Action Comics right now.
Yay!
I'm excited.
Yay, Action Comics. I haven't got to read it yet. How was Wonder Woman 800?
It was about what I expected. It was a celebration issue. I hate the way that her daughter's written, but she's being written by Tom King, so I hate Tom King's writing.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about the idea of it. You get to see future John and future Damian, and Wonder Woman's daughter doesn't just have her the Lasso of Truth. She also has...
The bracers?
No, there's two other lassos, and I'm trying to remember what their names are.
Oh.
One of them, Dawn and Troy, had it. I don't know what the black who owned the black one, but she has all three of the lassos.
I have a black lasso.
Yeah, I mean, me too, but I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Okay, so since this one is just kind of like a zombie mishmash, I thought we would just talk a little bit about our history with zombie movies in general. What was the first one you saw? How did you get into them? Like, what...
The first zombie movie I saw?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll go first then. Mine was Night of the Living Dead. I saw it, I want to say, fifth or sixth grade with my dad, and he scared the hell out of me by telling me that the organs that the zombies are eating in the movie were real human organs from that they got from, like, cadavers. Of course, they are real organs, but they're from cows.
I think, if I'm remembering my own history with this correctly, I saw the Romero zombie movies in reverse, like the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Day of the Dead was the first one I saw, and I think that might have been my first zombie movie. I remember my first experience with Resident Evil more than I remember my first experience with my first zombie movie. And that's what got me into zombies was the Resident Evil games.
Yeah, I don't think, except for like in adjacent things like the Simpsons episode we're discussing, I think like a true piece of zombie media, Night of the Living Dead was my first. And then after that, it was probably Zack Snyder's Day of the Dead, or Dawn of the Dead.
Written by James Gunn.
Yeah. Saw that in theaters also with my dad, and I remember watching Shaun of the Dead in high school.
I like Shaun of the Dead.
But, like, I didn't see the original Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead until, like, 2 or 3 years ago.
The brains thing that they bring up in this episode was started in a movie called Return of the Living Dead, which was written by not Romero, but the other dude who made that movie that no one talks about.
And that is one of the three movies that on the Simpsons Wiki is... referenced as being an inspiration for this episode.
And there's it's weird because that movie, isn't as old as some people think it is. Mm-hmm. And you'll see people do, like, zombie parodies that'll be, like, in black and white, and zombies will be saying brains.
Isn't that movie from the 90s,
I thought? Yeah. Yeah. So it's, like, there's this trip called, like, Not As Old As You Think It Is.
Yeah. I actually have the wiki page linked. It's 1985.
Okay.
So not, yeah, not...
But not, like, 50s, 60s, 70s, but, no. Like, mid-80s. I that's honestly one of my favorites. The zombies can't die in that movie.
I have not seen that one. Maybe we'll do a bonus episode on that.
Yeah.
I've actually, of, like, the George Romero, like, zombie movie verse, I've only seen the original trilogy plus the Dawn of the Dead remake. Those are the only ones I've seen.
Those are, if those were the only, if you could only, like, pick a handful of zombie movies to watch, those would be the ones I tell you to watch anyway.
Cool.
The vampire's a pure myth. Superstition. I may be able to bring you proof that the superstition of yesterday can become the scientific reality of today.
Let's jump into background. This episode originally aired October 29th, 1992. I was just about to turn 4 when this episode premiered.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was. This is from Treehouse of Horror 3, which is Season 4, Episode 5. Overall, it's episode number 64. It's the third of three segments. The first segment is Clown Without Pity, which is a parody of both Child's Play and the Twilight Zone episode Living Doll. And the second one is King Homer, which is a parody of King Kong. And this episode was directed by Carlos Beza, who is primarily known for working on The Simpsons and Futurama.
And that's that. Another story in the classic infallible three-act structure. Good enough for Aristotle, good enough for The Simpsons.
Mr. Sizlak, I have a feeling there's going to be one more act to this story.
Well, I'm not hanging around for that. Four acts.
Now, jumping into structure and themes, as I said earlier, there are three zombie movies that are kind of listed as being the inspiration for this.
Not a direct adaptation.
No, it's not a direct adaptation of anything.
Yeah.
But the three movies are Return of the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead, and Pet Sematary.
And you know what? If you're going to choose three...
Well, I haven't seen Return of the Living Dead, like, but the other two. Yeah, for sure.
But if you were going to pick, like, if you wanted to do a zombie story and you wanted to, like, pull from good source material, those would probably also be the three I would tell you to do.
And this one is similar to Bart Simpson's Dracula, which was kind of a hodgepodge of Dracula stories and Easter eggs and references.
Yeah.
What did you think of this, just in general, what did you think of Dial Z for Zombie?
I think it's probably going to rank right around the Bart Simpson's Dracula. Mm-hmm. I think it has some good references. There were some good jokes. There were a few jokes that were... They weren't bad, but they didn't make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there was any bad jokes.
No.
You know, I mean, I like seeing zombies. I like seeing Homer going around with a shotgun shooting people. Kind of would have liked more of that.
Yeah. Reminded me of, like, older zombie media.
Yeah.
Because, like, modern zombie lore is very much dominated by The Walking Dead and things inspired by The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole, like...
We're the real monsters.
Well, more so I just mean, like, in older zombie stuff, it was less common for, like, the zombies to be all decayed. It was more like, oh, here's a guy and you paint him green.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And you mess up his hair and he's a zombie. And he's not worried about eating you so much as he's worried about eating your brains.
Yeah.
So it reminded me of stuff like that.
It did feel a lot more old school. A lot of modern zombie movies also are very fast-paced and action-y.
Yeah.
This is very short, but even so, it didn't feel like... You had, like, the Homer shotgun sequence at the end, but it wasn't like that the whole time.
No.
It wasn't a shooting gallery.
No. You weren't the Burt Gummer in your basement with all your guns waiting for the zombie apocalypse so you can just go out there and shoot things till your heart's content.
Yeah.
You weren't, fucking, what's his name?
Just like me for real.
Yeah, you for real. Oh God, Dud Rogers in the dump shooting rats. That's the whole reason you want the job. I'm gonna shoot rats and talk about Ruthie Crockett's titties, and where you just rub them nipples and she'll just go crazy like a rocket.
Also, just like me for real.
Yeah, just like you.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Jumping to characters, we don't really have This one doesn't particularly focus on a single character. If you had to call it anybody's story, it's kind of a Bart story. But like some of the other ones we've covered, there isn't like a Burns as Dracula or a Penny or Krusty as Pennywise type character. So I just kind of had Bart here because it's very much Bart fucks up and everybody pays for it.
And using the framing device, he's also the one telling the story.
Yes. There were a few reasons I made us watch part of the frame narrative. One being that I thought that you might appreciate that he was wearing a Clockwork Orange
costume. Loved it.
Yeah.
That's a great costume.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that movie?
No.
We should cover that book, too.
Sure. Why not? Is the movie's Kubrick, right?
Yeah. It's a very Kubrick movie, too.
All I know is it starts with milk.
Yeah, they're like in a bar with their feet propped up on... I can't remember if they're actual women made to be used as tables or if they're mannequins. Mm. I haven't seen the movie in a while, but they're like, their feet are propped up on like these either naked people or naked statues, and they're just drinking milk, talking about going and committing acts most violent.
Okay, actually, I do know something about it because there is a Treehouse of Horror parody of it, and the group of guys is Homer, Lenny, Carl, and Moe, and Barney.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one. It's actually one of the newer ones.
I'll kill you all! I'll drive you crazy, and I'll kill you all! I'm every nightmare you ever had. I am your worst dream come true. I'm everything you ever were afraid of.
Scary shit. Best joke and worst joke, because it's not scary, so we talk about the jokes. I want to answer this in two ways. As a kid, because this one is very nostalgic, this one that I've seen a million times growing up. As a kid, my favorite joke by far was where Homer says, "Spare me, spare my family, take me," and the zombies like tap on his head, and then they walk away because he has no brains. But I think the one that got me, Homer, did you barricade the door? No. Why? Oh, the zombies. No.
Okay.
I like that one.
My best joke is when Bart is doing his book report, and it's very clearly like a baby's book. What's his teacher's name?
Kerbopple.
When Kerbopple tells him, "You're going to have to read
another book. Dun, dun, dun."
And I relate to that because I used to be, in quotation marks, a very shitty student who tried to get away with doing as little as possible. So I related to that. Like, I tried to take the shortcut and I made more work for myself.
I really enjoyed book reports in elementary school because I did Goosebumps books. And what we had to do when we do a book report is we'd write a report, but then we'd also present it to the class. So I got to get up in front of the class and I would just act out the Goosebumps book from start to finish. So I really enjoyed book reports. It's basically like an early version of this podcast. Just me up in front of my fifth grade class, acting out the Werewolf of Fever Swamp in front of all these kids who just don't give a crap.
Oh, we should get up and reenact our favorite books in front of class.
And now we're going to escape from the sewer. Do we have a volunteer to play Beverly?
Daniel is going to present. Daniel, you sit the fuck down.
No, you will not. For worst joke, I don't really think there's a bad one, but this one got, like, I was trolled by Lisa Simpson. She mentions that Snowball 1 was ran over by the mayor's beer-swilling cousin. Shit, what was his name? That was such a specific statement that I thought it was either a reference to something outside of The Simpsons or a reference to something in The Simpsons with the mayor's actual brother that I couldn't remember. And I spent like 10 minutes Googling it and couldn't find anything. So it was just a really weird, specific thing to say. And Lisa trolled me, so that's my worst joke.
My worst joke is when they turned on the radio and it was a zombie radio.
Yeah.
It just kind of, it fell flat for me. It's not like a bad idea for a joke, but I was just like, oh, okay. It's zombie radio.
Clovis. Run over by the mayor's beer-swilling brother, Clovis. Kiss Me Fat Boy, who's sexier, Cleopatra Marge or Bride of Frankenstein Marge?
Ugh.
I I think it's definitively Bride of Frankenstein, Marge. But I also...
I really like Egyptian getup.
I do, but I think the girl who plays the Bride of Frankenstein in Young Frankenstein was part of my sexual awakening.
Yeah.
So...
I think I'm going to have to go with Cleopatra.
All right, I'll go with Bride of Frankenstein.
And we'll make them kiss.
Now kiss.
Oh my God, are you Stephen King?
No, I'm Dean Koontz.
Oh.
Kings and Koontz, my king for Dial Z for zombies is... Shit. Zombie Flanders.
Zombie Flanders.
That's my king.
Mine is whenever he's reading the spell at the end and turns his sister into a slug, and I just stop and go, wait, is he reading out condom names, or is that just like me being weird?
No, he says, Trojan Ramses Magnum.
Yeah, I'm like,
what?
Wait a minute.
My coons is that there weren't more Pet Sematary references.
I guess I'll just make my coons also zombie radio.
Yeah.
It'll okay. Just be both. Yeah.
Cool. For ranking, I think it, as nostalgic as this one is for me, I think it's actually probably going to be my bottom.
It's also my number 8, so. Yeah.
I like it, but I think it's just kind of the weakest of the ones we've watched, and it is super nostalgic for me because I've seen it so many times, but I just don't think... it has as many jokes have stood the test of time like The Shining has.
Yeah.
For Zombie Day, I do have a few things. So this Treehouse of Horror 3 kind of has an Alfred Hitchcock theme that goes throughout it. The frame narrative opens with a parody of the Alfred Hitchcock Presents. And this segment is titled Dial Z for Zombies, which is a play on Dial M for Murder, which is a 1954 Hitchcock film. And also just one other random thing. When Bart and Lisa are trying to reincarnate Snowball 1, Bart is wearing an album cover for Michael Jackson's Thriller on his head, which of course is famous for the zombie dancing music video. Now for homework, what historical figure would you most like and least like to face down as a zombie?
Least like and most like to face down.
Yes.
Okay, I think I would most like to face down Hitler, because that's just classic. Classic Nazi zombies.
Yeah, very classic.
You know, you can't go wrong with getting to kill him twice.
Yeah. I would most like to face down former President Andrew Jackson.
Yeah.
Old Hickory, so I could just kick him in the nards. Kick him in his zombie nards.
You kicked Andrew Jackson in the nards.
I did.
He's my fifth favorite president.
You're terrible.
I would least like to face down Napoleon, because I think he would win.
I think you could take Napoleon in a fight. I mean, I don't...
No, he's too close to my nards.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's very true. He'll just bite you right in the nards.
Oh, that was a quickly thought up joke.
Yeah, no, that was good.
What's your least?
Actually, somebody who appeared in this episode, which is Zombie George Washington, and it's because he would just make me face the dark truths of America. George Washington represents, quote unquote, all that's good about our country. Heroism, leadership, being a patriot. But he also had slaves and was notoriously bad to indigenous people and did all these other terrible things. And it's like, and if I have to actually look at the real George Washington, the father of our country who represents all that's good about America, I don't know how I'll be able to think of our country.
Okay.
All right, question for the listeners. What's your favorite zombie movie? Or what was your first zombie movie? Stay tuned for our socials. Listen and reach out to us. Let us know.
What popped your zombie cherry?
Yeah, what popped your zombie cherry? Upcoming on The Horror of Babylon this Sunday, we are covering the two Stephen King short stories, that are relevant to Salem's Lot. They are Jerusalem's Lot and one more for the road. And then the next Sunday, July 23rd, we are covering the first TV adaptation of Salem's Lot, which is Tobe Hooper's Salem's Lot from 1979. And this coming Thursday, July 20th, our next bonus episode, continuing our Lolita in Moo themes, will be Leon the Professional.
Woo!
From 1994, starring Jean Reno, her first film, Natalie fucking Portman. And thank you to our patrons, Abigail the First Breaker, Chains, Mother of Dragons, and
Logan,
the Full Metal patron. And thank you to Forestman Comics and Gaming. You can visit them at the Morgantown Mall in Morgantown, West Virginia, or the Mall Robinson in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and say hello to the proprietor, Randall Flagg the Third.
Randall Savage.
Randall Savage the Third, the bad mother guy at Christmas. I don't know.
We're running out of things to call him.
Yeah, I need to write out a list ahead of time.
The Fly of Christmas.
The Fly of Christmas. There's a really good Treehouse of Horror on the Fly. A really good one.
Is there one on Yoko Ono's Fly?
No. No, there's not. Thank you for watching Dial Z for Zombies and recording with me.
It was pretty good. It was a pretty good time.
Yep. And stay tuned for our socials and stay scary.
Stay scary, everybody.
And now for the obligatory socials. Please like, share, and subscribe. You can find the podcast on Twitter at HorrorPod69. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Slasher, and Goodreads. Become part of the Disturbed community by asking for the Facebook group and Discord links. Send dick pics to the horrorofbabylonpodcast@gmail.com. Support the show at patreon.com/thehorrorofbabylon. In closing, you can let your friends know that The Horror of Babylon is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, and all other major podcast apps. Stay scary.